right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guests are Mr. Mark Rice of Wisdom and Mr. Sharon Bowie of a whole lot of different places. Man, you know, man, you're at Marquette University. You're doing some things in Madison. Again, for our listeners who may just be joining us, the different places you are involved in.
Well, Marquette, as you said, sir, and that's a real important position. So I want to stress it is the community liaison for the education preparedness program. And we're beginning a new cohort, as a matter of fact, of students. On Friday at Curto, I will be conducting the TAPE test to ascertain the appropriateness of some of our applicants in attending Marquette University. And let me go ahead and just hammer this point home, that if you are accepted into the EPP program, you will be an actual Marquette University student. You will have a Marquette University identification card. You will have access to Marquette University resources, and you will have access to Marquette University support. And I just want to make sure that
These are formerly incarcerated men.
Anyway. Yes, these are legal. Well, let me rephrase that. Okay. These are legal system impacted persons. So let me give you a quick example. Let's say your father was incarcerated and you were raised under that paradigm. Well, you are a legal system impacted person. So therefore, you qualify to join.
Oh, really?
Yes, absolutely, sir. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you had to be incarcerated or you had to go to jail. You could have been placed on probation. And maybe not even went to jail for an offense. Well, your legal system impacted because we know that there are significant deleterious effects of being on probation or being on parole. So all of these issues will qualify you to at least apply and maybe be a Marquette University student.
So listen, we're going to have to drill down on that again and again and again. So because that's critically important information that people really need to know. So Mark, let's get back to the fact that for such a long, long time, I remember the three strikes you're out, truth in sentencing, no parole. And I think that, did that come under Scott Walker? Or
it was before
Scott Walker. I think it might have came under Ronald Reagan. I don't know how long ago it happened, but I remember when they brought that all into existence and the prison industrial complex exploded in this nation. And so there were people who were clamoring, we've got to lock people up. The private prisons came into existence. And all of a sudden, we're on the New York Stock Exchange. It became a business. And if you create a business, there's got to be a product. And so all these laws were changed, and we started incarcerating people to the degree that we lead the entire world in incarcerated people. During that period of time, you were one. So. Let me ask you, the amount of money that it costs to incarcerate people is astronomical. And now you hear more and more people saying, hey, we want people locked up, but the people don't understand how much it's costing to lock people up. Let's talk a little bit about that, man, and whether or not there's been any changes along that line.
Definitely was some changes during the pandemic. In Wisconsin, the prison population dropped to the lowest that it's been in over 20 years in Wisconsin, and it's still down. The pandemic definitely played a role. There was a halt on admissions. The court shut down, and it slowed up. But this administration did make some changes. There was a downward trend in the use of incarceration for supervision holds. And for revocations, they started to move some programming in some prisons into community-based settings. In Milwaukee Secure Detention Facility, for example, they moved all the treatment alternative to revocation programs that were previously within MSDF into community-based settings, which was over a quarter of the population there. And that's a permanent change that this administration wants to make, and they want to do more of that statewide to actually move those programmings into community-based settings so that people can stay out in the community, still work, stay with their families, and participate in educational programming, but that's a huge change right there that we want to see expanded. Because before, people were just being warehoused in MSDF. They sometimes had to wait 7-8 months, several months to get into those programs. So people were just sitting there incarcerated, but instead staying in the community. That's something we want to see more of, those treatment alternatives being put in the community-based settings. So there definitely was that and throughout the nation. So there's some things that we can learn from that happened during the pandemic that can be made permanent. That's something that WISDOM's been advocating for many years, is to reduce the use of incarceration for crimeless revocations. And also there's, at the federal level, we've got, WISDOM's got a big U.S. Senate candidate forum coming up on Thursday, July 21st, starting at 8:15 p.m. at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Milwaukee, just off of 2nd and North. Again, 8:15 p.m., we've got three of the top four candidates. Democratic candidates in the primary, Mandela Barnes, Tom Nelson, and Sarah Godlewski have all committed to participate in that forum, and Alex Lazary and Ron Johnson have been invited. But the 94 crime bill was huge when we're looking at the federal level. There was, like you're saying, a lot of resources pumped into providing states incentives to push through harsh truth sentencing laws and to build more prisons. And Wisconsin enacted one of the harshest truth and sentencing laws in the entire nation, and we're still seeing the impact from that today. That's had a devastating impact on communities, on the lives of people, particularly in the neighborhoods that are most impacted. We know that Wisconsin still incarcerates Black men at a higher rate than any other state. Wisconsin still incarcerates Native men at a higher rate than any other state. That's not acceptable. And so we really need to push through justice reinvestment and reimagine how we create public safety, what public safety is. And we can actually create safer, stronger, and healthier communities by investing upfront in communities that have been disinvested in for so many years, particularly in Milwaukee, in neighborhoods like 53206. We're talking about investing in stable, affordable housing, living wage jobs, educational programming, like Sharon was mentioning before. So many of these things, peer support programming, treatment programming that's high quality, that works.
The only way any of those things can happen is if through legislation. If what is the thought process of the legislators? Clearly, part of the problem is we still have a legislature that wants to see things remain the same.
Definitely. There is some bipartisan agreement on issues like treatment alternatives and diversion. That program, TAD, Treatment Alternatives and Diversion, Wisconsin has unanimous support. And every year in the state budget, we typically get an increase in funding. There's been agreement on some other areas like expungement. There's been bipartisan support for pushing through an expungement bill that would help with give people more opportunities after coming home. But, and also the governor.
Mark, hold the thought. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Who do you think you are, Mr. Pistol? You're never gonna get my love.